Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Okay. Welcome to the show, which is Motto at Midnight. I'm your host, Motto Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. Let me take care of a little bit of housekeeping here first. We are trying to sort of cross-pollinate here. We have a number of new shows. Actually, there are more shows on Blog Talk Radio now than there are Kardashian sisters, and that's even counting the two Jenners. So we're very excited about where our lineup is going. Let me see. I have a list of them here, and I will not claim credit for this. I did not make this list. It's here on the desktop for me. This Blog Talk Radio, insightsradio.com. And you can get this information yourself if you'd like to visit the website, withinsightsradio.com. Also, please remember that withinsightsradio.com is listener-supported radio, so there is a tip jar on there. I don't think it's we call it something else for listener-supported radio. But anyway, you'll find it there on the website. But I have this list of shows, and I'm going to attempt to remember what each of them is. B-Cubed, I believe, is Becca Johnson's show, and she does energy work of a type I'm not quite familiar with. I have to apologize. But she had her first show a couple of weeks ago. I understand it went very well. Part of the struggle of doing this kind of thing is coming back for the second show. After the first one, I remember having done my first one. I remember I shut it down early. I thought it was going so badly. But I received some encouragement from some good friends, and the show went on. And now we're almost to 4 years. It's either the end of March or the end of April. I can't quite remember. I have to do a little research on that subject. But anyway, B-Cubed is a once-a-month on Wednesdays show hosted by Becca Johnson. The Crystal Ball. It's Into the Crystal Ball. What is that? Because I know we have one called The Looking Glass. Is that? I might actually have to. Hold on. I'm going to play this just for a second. Hold on. Is that? You'll recognize my voice here in a minute.
With Insights Radio presents.
Yep, that's me. Okay, yeah, okay. That's Through the Looking Glass. And for some reason, it's down here as Crystal Ball. Perhaps there was a last-minute change. I don't know. These things happen. Through the Looking Glass. That's a friend of ours. I'm digging for his name. Who does readings using crystal ball and other modalities. So it's very focused on readings. So that show for those of you out there who like readings. Next on the list is Gypsy Wagon, and that's our friend Dawn, Dawn of a New Era. And I'm thinking that is readings and oraculation. Do I have that word right? Predicting the future is what I mean to say. Lion's Lair, that's Adriana's show. Oh, excuse me, Gypsy Wagon is also a Wednesday once-a-month show, as is Lion's Lair, which is Adriana's show. And that's all things sexual, so you will want to check that out. Lunchtime Wisdom is every week on Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. And that's just some general talk with Chief Iggy and David Two Crows, I believe, is usually on that, or is it Mark who's on that one? I believe maybe it's Mark Matheny who's the co-host on that. And Katie Singing Eagle is also on that show from time to time. I pop up there every once in a while. You just never know who's going to walk into Condor Eagle Central Command, where all of our shows are done except for mine. Let's see. That brings us to Mudtoe Midnight. Gosh, what's that all about? Listening to that right now. Mark the Rabbit Hole. I don't understand that title, but Mark Matheny is our resident astrologer, and he can tell you anything you want to know about astrology. Told me, I was not aware of this, my star sign, Aquarius, is ruled by Uranus. So you can take that little bit of knowledge with you. Let me, nope, that's not anything. Okay. I'm sorry, I don't multitask very well. I just had a message there. But it doesn't have any pertain to the show, so we will move on. We've got, what was the one I just did? Mark the Rabbit Hole. That's on Friday mornings. It's at 11 a.m., I believe. Yes, again, you can check my my faulty recollection of the schedule at your leisure at with insightsradio.com. But I'm not done yet. There are still more shows. We've got Spontaneous Spirit. These are all abbreviated. I don't think this one. There's a show we do on Thursdays at 8 p.m., and it's just basically talking about things that occur to us. So it's sort of like this show a little bit, except it's three people instead of one. I was on the show last night. This may be just me. I'm not sure that the stream of consciousness works so well with three people. Of course, but then I say, the reason I say said what I said when I started was I in general find it difficult to do shows with other people. Just would rather sit here and run off at the mouth all by myself. Boy, is this dragging on. Okay, we got Spontaneous Thursday. We got Throwback Thursday, which is on right after Spontaneous, whatever. Spontaneous Spiritual, Spontaneous Spirit, something like that. So anyway, Throwback Thursday, which is on at 9 o'clock every Thursday. Chief Iggy selects one of the shows from our archive and plays it again. And select something that seems to be relevant or valid for something that's happening right now. Just kind of perspective of time having passed and that sort of thing. The big show, Chief Iggy's show, Iggy and Friends, on Mondays at 6 p.m. And that's with you know, all the readings you can shake a stick at. It's a fun show, actually, to be on. I've been on it a number of times. But mostly my home is here. And I believe, actually, Gary, who does the, I've just remembered his name, but Gary, who does the Through the Looking Glass show, I'm not sure if he works out of Condor Eagle Central Command or if he works out of his home. But if he's coming into broadcast from Iggy's location, that would make me the only person on the network who broadcasts from home. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. Which I did my show from Iggy's last week because I was staying there, and did something that I had not done before, which is I went overtime, which Chief Iggy assured me was not technically a problem. What I mean is we're supposed to program in before we do these shows. We have to program in how long our show is going to be and what day it's going to be on, which means I have to remember that my show is, according to the computer, is on Saturday morning, not on Friday night. That's something I have to remember to type in the right date. But Iggy assured me that if you go over, that's all right, because you get a two-hour block. So it'll continue to broadcast you if you go over. Well, so did that. We got into a conversation. Iggy and I did the show together. We got into a conversation and decided to just go ahead and talk for another 15 minutes. So it was my first ever 45-minute show. And then I got a number of messages from listeners who said that the show had cut off at 30 minutes and they didn't hear the rest of it. Which was a shame because there's actually, as I recall, some good stuff in that last 15 minutes. But fear not. If you go to the show archive on Blog Talk Radio, you can find it there, and all 45 minutes are there on the archive. And you just have to search for it. You can search under Mud Toe at Midnight. You can search under the show date, which was February 28th, unless I'm very much mistaken. But so if you typed in Mud Toe, 228 2015, it's probably going to take you there. Fact is, a lot of times you can search from Yahoo or a similar search at Google and come across the show you want the same way, which, you know, makes me proud out there on Google, out there in the internets for all of time. I've made my mark on history. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, there's my commercial. It's taken up a third of the show. So if I were to learn these show names a little bit better, perhaps, that would go a little bit more quickly. But then that's good information for you, too. You don't need to be just sitting here listening, you know, to my moody darkness. I haven't heard Gary's show. But other than that, I'm probably the moody, darkniest person on the network. So, you know, maybe that's not your cup of tea. I don't know. I find it difficult to change who I am, but fortunately I don't have to because I have a number of compatriots here on this radio channel who can love and light you far more effectively than I can. That's actually the issue I ran into on last night's show. It was very, very love and light. We had a guest who was a Roman Catholic priest. He was talking a lot about love, and it's not a subject I know a whole lot about. I can talk a lot about frustration. I can talk a lot about disappointment. I can talk a lot about loneliness. I can talk about love in the context of my family, specifically my daughter and my granddaughter, who provide me with unconditional love, which is not, I mean, obviously it's not romantic love. It's not because they're my family, but also because I think romantic love is kind of tainted in a way. There's some interference that comes from sexuality that kind of gets in the way of love, I think. But then again, you don't need to listen to me on that because I don't, as I said, I don't really know that much about love. I was doing the show with Iggy and with Adriana, and before the show started, I posited that I wasn't sure I had ever been in love in a romantic way. I think I've come close once or twice. And I've been married twice. I would not claim that I was in love with either of the women that I was married to. Particularly, you know, this is fun. I was just thinking of this a minute ago. I was thinking about my second wife and whether she, without going all the way through my twisted stream of consciousness, whether she had ever done any research and tried to find out where I was. I have no idea where she is. Totally lost track of her for at least 10 years. So I said, I wonder if she would find me someday through Mud Toe at Midnight and be listening to the show, and I would say something bad about her. And she would run out and say, well, geez, I wonder if that's how he does his show. He just says something bad about me every night. No, I don't. I don't know that I've ever discussed my second wife and anything but other than the most general terms. But what I will say is I realized at the time I married her that I wasn't in love with her. And 6 years later when we got divorced, I still wasn't in love with her. So nothing had changed. But it does sort of, I think, reinforce the idea that you can invest, have a relationship that you invest a lot in. And love wouldn't necessarily have to be a part of that. Romantic love, talking about. That was something interesting that our guest yesterday, Father, it was Father Jason, Father, my memory is so short, but he talked about a lot about, you know, in different languages, they have different words for love, expressing different qualities of love, whether it's romantic love, friendship love, the love that comes from above. And he talked in English about, you know, distinguishing between an L-O-V-E kind of love and an L-U-V kind of love. The L-U-V being that intense, can't live without you kind of love, and the L-O-V-E being the enduring kind where you only, you're with somebody and you only want their good, and you constantly work for their good. I did find that interesting. But overall, it wasn't that I objected to anything he said. It was the tone of it. It was just too light for me to interface with it. You know, I come. This sounds melodramatic. I don't mean it. I don't mean this in a Dungeons and Dragons kind of way. I come from a place of darkness. That's how I approach things. There's danger. There's maybe not physical danger, but there's unhappiness. There's things I have to look out for. I don't see the world as a wonderful place. Now, there are times when I almost get convinced, but wintertime, that doesn't happen very often. Usually, I almost get convinced that the world is a wonderful place while I'm in nature. And I see, you know, something miraculous happen. If I was just walking a path one time, and, you know, a turtle crossed my path. I mean, how often does that happen in a day? And then that set me off on the whole thing, finding out, you know, what, you know, about spirit signs and what encountering a turtle during your day meant. So it gave me sort of an excuse to be probably more spiritual than I might be in other circumstances. And light, meaning the light of the sun, helps my mood. Artificial light does not. The light of the sun does. The light of the sun is very, very different from artificial light. Just ask a camera. That's why you get those funny colors sometimes. And let me see if I get this right. I believe I usually get this screwed up. But if you take the thing that's on your camera that says white balance, that's to adjust for what kind of light you're shooting in. So if your camera thinks you're indoors but you're actually outdoors, your picture will come out a bluish color because the light of the sun, the light of the outdoors, is actually blue. It's a reflection of the blue light that's in the sky, the blue color that's in the sky. And our brains automatically sort of filter that out. So it's to kind of do the white balance for us. But a camera doesn't. You have to tell it what kind of light you're sitting in. So I think even beyond that quality of light, there's also things about energies and wavelengths and what have you that make outdoor light way, way different from artificial light. So when I'm in the light, when I'm by the water, water helps too. Water is very soulful stuff. When these things come together, there are times I can almost believe in the world as a beautiful and just place. And then I run into people, and it just everything just falls apart. But that's me. I'm not, you know, certainly I don't pretend to preach here. I don't say to anybody the way they ought to live. My mission is to speak what's in my heart, and trust that Spirit will carry it to someone who needs to hear it. Now, as I see the clock continually ticking down as it does, and I am committed to the 30-minute show length now. I'm not going to, obviously, I don't want to put stuff out there that people aren't going to hear. And doing the show by myself, 30 minutes is about what I can do. So before it gets too late here, let's turn to Walk in Dry Places. Again, for people listening to it for the first time, this is a Alcoholics Anonymous devotional book. Presented to me by some friends on the occasion of my first anniversary of sobriety, and its ideas for how to stay that way. And what I like to do is read one of these and try and focus the experiences of my day through it. And often it works surprisingly well. So here we are. The reading for March the 7th is entitled First Things First. The struggle to bring order into our lives starts with lots of little things. One recovering person discovered that it was a good exercise simply to put the cap back on the toothpaste tube in the morning. This was a reminder that things should be put in their proper place, and the discipline helped later in organizing larger matters. It is very easy to overlook orderly procedures in the haste to get things done. or to avoid anything that seems unpleasant or demanding. But such oversight always carries a heavy price later on. When we don't return things to their proper place, for example, we lose them or waste hours looking for them. We may bungle a job simply because we were too lazy to look up the right information or to read directions. That's why first things first is much more than just a slogan. It's actually a principle for living, a guide that tells us there's an orderly approach to everything. If we can find that order without becoming slavishly compulsive about it, we'll find that it simplifies lots of things later on. And let's see. Well, that is, I think I can to that a little bit. Again, as listeners who've been here for a while will know, I have been trying to secure new living arrangements in my large city in the Midwest. Lost my apartment back in July. Since then, I have been sometimes staying with my parents in my old hometown, sometimes staying with Chief Iggy, sometimes staying with my daughter in the city. It's Columbus. I don't know why I feel the need to say stealth that somehow. It's Columbus, Ohio is the city where I live. And various other friends that have put me up at various times, but it's just not like having your own place. So working with a caseworker who is also my therapist, I put in an application to a city agency which places low-income people in apartments, and was told that, you know, since I am a single male with no kids to take care of, it would take a long time for my name to come up to the top of the list. Well, a few months back, it came up to the top of the list, and we've been slogging away for really 2 months now, trying to get all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. And today, I saw the inside of my prospective apartment for the first time. And then the mind begins to race. Okay, this is what needs to be done. You know, once I get into the apartment, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. And there's still an issue hanging out there about how much rent I'm going to pay. The rent is supposed to be based upon your income, but my income is so sporadic. You know, how do you figure it? My housing coordinator, the one putting me into this apartment, seems set on basing my rent on the income from this job I'm starting next week, which is I work for about 3 months. Well, I can't say each year. This would be the second year in a row. Grading standardized tests. And in 3 months, that income is going to fall away. And if my rent is based on that income, 3 months from now, I'm going to have a problem, you know, unless they're able to adjust it. And I've been told it can be adjusted, but, you know, it's taken us 2 months to get to where we are now. How quickly can they adjust it? Because if it comes in and I'm not able to pay it, that means running to somebody else and asking for money, which, you know, then the independence thing, which is what I'm after, goes out the window. So, you know, that the focus is independence and regaining my independence. And that's where we begin to apply, I think, the idea of first things first, because there's lots of running around that could be done, lots of activities that might distract me. And if I allow that to happen, then my independence goes out the window. So it's up to me to first to identify. I mean, say first things first, great, but you have to identify what the first things are. So this weekend, I need to spend some time doing that. In prayerful meditation, I need to determine what are the first things. And I need to set an intention to put those first things first. And something else, when I was reading that, and I think first things first, they talk about orderliness and keeping your space orderly. By no means am I a hoarder, but my space in my old apartment was not orderly. I did not spend a lot of time keeping it organized. And so extra time was often taken trying to make tasks, important tasks, happen, to complete things. It's just part of the job became finding the resources I needed, the paperwork or the reference or whatever it was I needed. So I made a commitment some time ago when I first found out that this whole apartment thing might happen. That out of respect for spirit, having put me in the way of this gift, I would commit to keep the space orderly and clean. To the point, I mean, my old apartment, I never had people over because of the way it looked. Especially my bathroom. I'm not going to go into details, but when people would come in, you know, we were coming back from going to someplace. We just came back and we were going to part ways for the evening, and often people will ask if they can come in and use the restroom. And sometimes they say, I really don't want you to. But I need to, so I come in. I just was really not happy with the condition in which I kept the restroom. So that'll definitely be a first thing first. But the whole space will just need to have, you know, a place for everything and everything in its place. I think that will reflect a certain orderliness of mind that I hope to achieve before this is all over with. Because one of my focuses is to find a relationship. But I know that this is not going to happen while my life is such a mess. I have to unmessify my life. And first things first is the opposite of having a mess. So that's a good place to start, and I think that was a well-placed reading for me today. It's amazing how often they are that way. I found that since I've been doing this on the show, I also used to find it in meetings when it would be my turn to read something, and I'd open up the book and say, please read, da-da-da, and I'd read it, and it was it's like, this is exactly what happened to me today. And that happens in other spiritual endeavors as well. Okay. I have to think of 2 minutes more of stuff to talk about. I have a wonderful, funny story about my granddaughter, which I cannot tell you because it's nonverbal. And there's no way I can explain to you what it is she did that was so funny, because I don't think I could explain it. I don't think I'd describe it adequately. So I guess you're just going to have to wonder for the rest of your lives. I did just get 90-second warning from Blog Talk, so it's time for me to start wrapping this up. Thanks once again for joining me. We're coming up on a fourth anniversary. I'll have to think of something special. First of all, I'll have to find out exactly when it is. And again, fingers crossed, toes crossed, at some point in the very near future, I will be doing this show from my brand new digs. So one more time, thank you for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.